A major goal of social insect research is to try to explain the kind of amazing complex behavior that's seen in animals like nest-building termites or weaver ants. There have been some successful attempts to do this quantitatively, which describe these systems in terms of the interactions between the individuals. But unfortunately, we don't have any social insect species for which we have a complete list of all of the signals. We can certainly imagine creating such a list. We have a nice indication of this from the logo for this meeting. We don't actually have a complete list of the types of signals. I've been interested in trying to develop large-scale methods for collecting signals, and it's most appropriate to do this in terms of olfaction, because this lends itself to high-throughput methods. So we've been looking at olfaction in fire ants, in the red imported fire ant, and I'll just briefly review how we think this works in the antenna, which is the major olfactory organ. So this is a fire ant antenna, and most of the olfactory receptors are in the club region of the antenna, where at high magnification you can see that there are lots of scintilla. And if you look in a cross section, this is some people call this a tricoid scintilla. It's actually related to wasp placoid scintilla, and it has a bunch of pores along the side. Schematically, if we look at the inside, it has an olfactory receptor neuron, and in the membrane of the neuron is the olfactory receptor itself, which is specific for some particular class of molecules. And these molecules that it's specific for are very nonpolar. They're insoluble in water. And so in the antenna lymph, there are various types of binding proteins that can collect these nonpolar molecules from the air and deliver them across this aqueous medium to the olfactory receptor neuron membrane. So the approach that we've been taking is to try to use these proteins, these binding proteins, as a way of finding out what the collection of molecules is that are actually delivered to the olfactory receptor neurons. There are three different kinds of these molecules that have been found in insects. One of them is a so-called OBP, PBP family, odorant or pheromone binding proteins. Another, the chemosensory or CSP protein family. And there also are lipocalins. These are actually better known as the vertebrate olfactory binding protein, but they also are present in insects and may also have a role in olfaction in some cases. Our approach has been tremendously helped by the development of the Lausanne Fire Ant EST library, and in that we've found 8 OBP PBPs, 13 CSPs, and 1 lipocalin. So we've begun with the CSPs, and the approach is to express these recombinantly. We're using E. coli right now. Collect the protein and then expose it to different substances that might be involved in the interaction with the olfactory system, and then see if we can identify what they're specific for. So this is the list of the fire ant CSP sequences that we found. And they all have this characteristic cysteine something something cysteine sequence. There's actually a pattern of 4 cysteines. We found these just by a pattern search in the EST library. So the questions we want to ask are these proteins expressed in the antenna? Because some of them might be doing other things. For example, in locusts, these CSPs are found in the wings. We're not going to have that problem in worker ants. Where are they expressed? And then do they bind to specific compounds? And what are these compounds? In terms of the antennal expression, we haven't yet done things like quantitative PCR, which would certainly be a good way of doing that. We're actually trying to develop some proteomics methods for quantifying where they're expressed. But in the meantime, we can actually do some phylogenetic analyses to see if we can pick out some that, by similarity to other insects, might be antennal expressed. So this is a large collection of hymenopteran chemosensory proteins. They've been found, for example, in Camponotus, in the Argentinian ant, in honeybees, and in 2 different wasp species. So we can take this whole list. You see, again, they all have the CXXC sequence. We can take this and create a phylogenetic tree. I hope there aren't any systematists in here, because I'm very embarrassed to present. I mean, some of these bootstrap values are obviously not valid, but it at least gives us an idea of some of the relationships. There is a lot of data in the literature from some of these, particularly with honeybees. There's a complete analysis of the expression pattern in honeybees. So if we compare this with the expression, we find, for example, here's a Solenopsis CSP, which we call number 7, that is reasonably similar to a honeybee CSP that's only expressed in the antenna. So this might be a good place to start. There are some antennal CSPs from other Hymenoptera that don't have any similar fire ant protein. And here's a whole cluster of fire ant CSPs that don't seem to be very closely related to anything in any other Hymenoptera. Well, fortunately, there's one fire ant CSP that we do have some information on. This is a two-dimensional polyacrylamide gel in which these little sort of vague gray spots represent proteins that are separated in one dimension by their charge or isoelectric point, the other dimension by their size. And down here, we found this protein is where what we call CSP1 is located. And we've also found this using proteomics methods. We've also detected this as the major chemosensory protein in the fire ant antenna. So we can say that this, I should mention, I guess I didn't say this. This is the proteins in this gel are derived from the antenna. So this is all the proteins in the fire ant antenna, and the major CSP is what we call CSP1. So we think that maybe this whole cluster of 5 fire ant CSPs, these may all be antennal expressed. There are little spots down here that are very weak and are just at lower concentrations, and we hope that we'll be able to analyze these more in the future. So it looks like a lot of these proteins, anyway, are expressed in the antenna. So we can then move on to the question of what do they bind to. One thing we can do is actually look at the structure of this protein, because fortunately the cabbage moth CSP has had its three-dimensional structure determined. And using the method called homology modeling, we can actually get a model of the fire ant CSP. It kind of looks like an old-fashioned donut. It has this hole in the middle, which is where the hydrophobic ligand binds. And so we've done homology modeling for all 12 of the 13 fire ant CSPs. And these highlighted green regions, these are the amino acids that we predict are binding, are in the binding cavity. And you can see that there's quite a lot of variety. And this would suggest that these proteins may have some specificity, that they may all bind to different molecules. So the question then is, what molecules do they bind to? For this, we've taken some of the methods that were developed by Paula Pelosi to try to identify the ligands. So one of the things that Pelosi did with locust and other CSPs is to take this fluorescent dye, N-phenylnaphthalene, and it turns out NPN in water has very low fluorescence, but when you mix it with a CSP, the fluorescence is tremendously enhanced. And for those aficionados in here, which are probably not anyone, but this little peak here shows an interaction directly with the protein by resonance energy transfer. So, 1 minute, okay. So, I'll get to the punchline here. If you compete with something else other than this naphthalene dye, the NPN will get kicked off the surface and the fluorescence will go down. So we can actually use the drop in fluorescence to predict binding. And so we've taken the cuticular lipids from Solenopsis invicta and separated them by thin layer chromatography, and then scraped them off the plate. So here are the hydrocarbons, the triglycerides, fatty acids, and sterols, and some unknown material. We scraped them off the plate, and using this fluorescence binding assay, we've measured the affinity for CSP1. And what we find, interestingly, is that the hydrocarbons have very weak interaction compared to the triglycerides, almost a factor of 10 difference. So what we would predict from this is that it may actually turn out that the, for example, the nestmate recognition signal, which Bob Vandermeer has shown is not really the cuticular hydrocarbons, may actually be a mixture of triglycerides and fatty acids. And so this would be a reasonable thing to try to pursue to see if those are in fact the substances in estimate recognition. So I want to thank some of my collaborators at San Antonio and also Brad Vinson at Texas A&M.